May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Today, we are entering Holy Week, the last week of Jesus' life and the most sacred time of the Christian year. In their book, The Last Week, theologians Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan describe the events of Palm Sunday like this. Two processions entered Jerusalem on a spring day in the year 30. From the east, Jesus rode a donkey down the Mount of Olives, cheered by his followers. Jesus was from the peasant village of Nazareth. His message was about the kingdom of God, and his followers came from the peasant class. On the opposite side of the city, from the west, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Edomia, Judea, and Samaria, entered Jerusalem at the head of a column of imperial cavalry and soldiers. Jesus' procession proclaimed the kingdom of God. Pilate's proclaimed the power of empire. The two processions embody the central conflict of the week that led to Jesus' crucifixion. This morning you just heard two gospel passages, a short one from Mark about what happened at the beginning of that week, and a longer one from John, most beautifully sung by our quartet, about what happened at the end. These two readings reflect the two designations of this Sunday. It's Palm Sunday, but also the Sunday of the Passion. Last week, Father Riho talked to us about paradoxes and the fact that so much about Jesus was paradoxical. Well, there is a kind of paradox about today. Is it Palm Sunday, with a parade and people waving palms and cheering? Or is it Passion Sunday, with Jesus coming into Jerusalem on his way to the cross? The crowd that greeted Jesus embodies the paradox. On Sunday, they hailed him as Messiah. Hosanna, they cried. Blessed is the one that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. But by Thursday, they knew that the one who came in the name of the Lord was becoming a dangerous character to associate with. The adoring crowd soon became the jeering mob. The Passion narrative that we heard today is the Passion according to St. John. St. Mark's version has a more precise timeline from which we can work out that Jesus would have entered Jerusalem on the Sunday before Passover, and we catch up with him and his disciples at their Passover meal, which we call the Last Supper, on Maundy Thursday. And it's what happens between Sunday and Thursday that helps explain why the Jewish and Roman authorities were so keen to have Jesus killed. The Romans loved processions. They used these military parades as a way of showing their dominance, keeping the subjugated peasants in awe. Jesus would have known that Pilate would be coming from his seaside villa in Caesarea Maritima, because he did so every Passover to make sure that the holiday crowds in Jerusalem stayed in line. He would ride in on his war horse with his legions in their red and gold armor, carrying their golden eagles on spears. It would indeed be an awe-inspiring spectacle. And thus, Jesus' little street parade with the donkey and the cheering peasants was to the Roman authorities an anti-imperial protest. But it was also, for the Jews, a messianic act, the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. "See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey." With one donkey ride, Jesus thumbs his nose at the Roman Empire and asserts his identity as the Jewish Messiah. Jesus then proceeds to the temple courtyard, which would have been the center of the action during Passover week, and overturns the tables of the money changers. All week, he continues to confront the temple leadership. What he's actually confronting is their assumption that by controlling access to the temple, they control access to God and to God's grace and love. And Jesus's point was that no one has to pay for God's love. It's completely free and available to all who choose to claim it. No wonder they all wanted him gone. The short passage from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi that was our epistle reading today is a very important one. It's known as the Christ hymn, generally thought to be a very early Christian hymn rather than Paul's own words. And it is a lovely passage. In just a few words, it tells the story of Jesus's role in God's plan to redeem a broken world. God reaching out to a wayward creation, not in anger and judgment, but in grace and forgiveness. But it is challenging. It calls us to let the mind of Christ be in us, to consider our privilege and not exploit it, to let go of pride and cultivate humility, to remember the needs of others. It describes the downward mobility of God in Christ, a refusal of every grasping claim to power and domination, a faithfulness in the face of torture and death itself. It's beautiful and moving, but not necessarily a message that we always want to hear. So in the end, the world rejected Jesus' message and tried to silence him. But God vindicated him and restored him to life. The horror and violence inflicted on Jesus showed the depth of human evil, but also the ultimate defeat of human power. God's love as revealed in Jesus can never be silenced, never be killed. And it is that love that restores our humanity. Out of the terrible violence of Jesus' suffering and death, God made an opening between heaven and earth. At the end of his passion story, St. Mark tells us that the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That was the veil in the temple that separated the people from the Holy of Holies, the veil that hid God's presence and behind which only the high priest was allowed to go, and then only with a rope tied around his waist in case something awful happened and he had to be pulled out. But with Jesus's death, the veil was torn apart and God was no longer contained in a temple. Jesus confronted and defeated those who would keep God locked up. The scandal of the cross is that God's love can go anywhere in the world, in the universe, and reach anyone and everyone. Although this Palm Sunday holds more hope and promise than last year's, we still cannot make all the outward and visible journeys and gestures that embody the inner meaning of this week. The procession of palm crosses, the singing of Hosanna, all those things that echo the events of the first Palm Sunday. But the inner journey is still necessary and accessible. In this Holy Week, we as Christians have the opportunity to live through the story we proclaim day by day. The last days of Jesus Christ, his last meal with his friends, his death by execution, and his glorious resurrection. Once again, we have the opportunity to ponder the events of Palm Sunday, of Maundy Thursday and the Last Supper, of Good Friday and the crucifixion, of Holy Saturday and the magnificent Great Vigil of Easter. We will celebrate the hope for justice and healing as the Church tells the whole salvation story once again. I will end with a Palm Sunday poem from Malcolm Guite's book, Sounding the Seasons. Now to the gate of my Jerusalem, the seething holy city of my heart, the Savior comes. But will I welcome him? Oh, crowds of easy feelings make a start. They raise their hands, get caught up in the singing, and think the battle won. Too soon, they'll find the challenge, the reversal he is bringing. It changes their tune. I know what lies behind the surface flourish that so quickly fades. Self-interest and fearful guardedness. The hardness of the heart, its barricades, and at the core, the dreadful emptiness of a perverted temple. Jesus, come, break my resistance and make me your home.